Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 139, part 2, The Riches of His Grace. Today is Sunday, March 28th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to call between 1 and 3 p.m. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. Be sure to join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes. You can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and in the show notes, you're going to also find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one of Pastor Paul's messages and Sundays for part two. This month, the messages are the following: Go Forth Without the Camp, Are We Sincere, Are You in the Smoke, The Riches of His Grace. So there you have it, the month of March. Have a great month and a beautiful spring. God bless you.
I went back after a month and I read that thing. No drinking. I wasn't drinking. Poured all the booze down the toilet. Yeah, all of it. And it was by God's grace, because I was laughing when I poured it down. It didn't bother me a bit. I even went so far as to get wine blessed by rabbis, because then I thought, well. Yeah. But then the message came, if it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. So I just totally abstained from all kinds of, any kind of alcoholic beverage, because there's somebody over here. Even if one, you only have one, I only have one glass of wine, it's good for the tummy. Says so. No, but if it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. There's all kinds of alcoholics out there. And I was still smoking, and they walked up, and I thought, I'm still doing that. And they came right up and, well, this time only two bowl haircuts came up, and they were cigarettes. I says, you know what? God is going to deliver me of these cigarettes. You know what? About 2 months later, he did. I prayed. I was at work. I says, Lord, I want these things to smell bad, taste bad. I want to make me sick with the brown fingers. I want the whole bit. I want it to be taken away from me, and I'm going to put them on the shelf, and I'm not going to smoke anymore. God help me. And I said, Lord, if I touch one of those things, make me hack and cough and want to vomit. So it was about an hour or two later. I thought, boy, I've went a long time. So I used to go 10 minutes, and then I'd pull them out of the garbage and fix them up and smoke them. And so then I got to have a cigarette. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I didn't tell you to quit any of those things. And I lit one up, and I started hacking and coughing. I ran to the toilet. I felt nauseous. And I ran home, and I told Jan that. And I says, go up the street, get me two filter tip cigarettes, and bring them back here. I says, and I want to show you something. And I lit them up, and I got vomitously ill. And, until this day, I think about a cigarette, and it nauseates me. Because God's grace is sufficient. Now I picked up that thing. I went to church and I picked up that thing again. No drinking and no smoke. But how was it? How did it happen? By the grace of God. Not by a whole lot of do's and don'ts and wills and won'ts and sans and suddens. No. Not by a whole lot of people in the high steeple, a few people sit down on rump, never do nothing church. No, not by that at all. It was by the grace of God. I looked at that thing and I thought, God, this is so great. I'm being delivered. And then I started getting prideful. Right? The next thing was dirty pictures, and the next thing, and you know, like that, see. And you know how you're delivered? By the wonderful grace of God. In your sin. Oh, that's dangerous. Don't say that. You ever been delivered in your sin? Now that's a trip. See, I believe a lot of times us Christians are out of focus. They have a focus on a person instead of the Lord. The problem instead of the answer. They're looking at the problem instead of the answer. You're a problem, brother. You're coming into the church and you're smoking and you're doping and you are, immature and you're divorced. That was another thing. How are we ever going to take care of all these poor people? It's a real problem. And he went to this great big thing over there with all these dignitaries over there. And then I had about 30 seconds. I said, the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ and following the principles of the Bible. His grace is sufficient. But no, we go ahead and we offer, morality to people. We call ourselves the majority, the moral majority. Well, you say something like that, you got to prove it. Come on. You're tampering with somebody else's morals. Well, are you against that? No, I'm not saying that. But I am not a moral majority. I am not to judge the world, for they are under judgment already, and they're sinners, and they're not saved yet. And so we go away and we work it in our own plan, and we bring in people that are wounded and brokenhearted. We've got to start leading people to Him that healeth the broken bones and hearts, bindeth up their wounds, it says in Psalm 147:3. And I think we have the very greatest of all illnesses in our world today, broken heart. Brokenheartedness. Oh, we're so quick to deal with the physical ailment, but how about the broken heart? How about all the broken hearts that are wandering around out there? Broken hearts. We lead people to God all the time, but how about the great physician? How about bringing it into focus? How about saying He can meet all your needs? He'll continue on to meet all your needs. Take Him to the great physician, because next to God, we're all quacks. Vulgar imitations. And some hearts are naturally broken, some are spiritually broken. You ever have a spiritually broken heart? And you've fallen and a word or something convicts you and your heart is broken. And the sword of the Spirit goes, and you're dead. Spiritually dead. That's good. You know why? Because with every death, spiritual death, comes a resurrection. And the only one that can resurrect us when we get a spiritual death is the Lord Jesus Christ. The sword Isn't that great? The Word of God, the sword of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's sharp all over. It isn't in two edges. Any way you whack it, it'll kill or cure or whatever. You have to know how to do that. Or you can kill people with the Word of God. And they're all laying there. But when the sword of the Spirit does it, when the Holy Spirit does it, it pierces it. And it kills them, but it also brings them up. How many are hearing this? Whew. Oh, there's people brokenhearted all over the place, and God has allowed it. Talked to a man the other day. He is brokenhearted. Oh, my heart is broken. So broken. I don't know. I can hardly even breathe. It's so broken. My God, this happened to me, and that happened. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Hey, I know. But you know something? God can heal your broken heart. Friends are deserting each other all over. People are brokenhearted. Children are breaking their parents' hearts all over. Parents are breaking their children's hearts all over. Aren't they? They do things and they break their parents' hearts. Betrayals of secrets by comrades. The changeableness and the fickleness of friends. Do you ever notice how fickle we are? Aren't we fickle friends? Aren't we? We were a friend one day. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, I love you. And the next day, we're so fickle. I don't love you no more. Don't like you. You ever notice when you get three kids together, it's too many? The selfishness enters in there. My friend. And so then the two that decide to stay with each other, the third one's left out. That happens with Jesus. People love each other, and then Jesus comes in, and then the husband or the wife gets jealous of Jesus. Hey, how about me? I bring this food in here. Sure, I understand God does it. I know all that. But who does it physically does it? Huh? Yeah, we get jealous of Jesus all the time. Third parties. And we're changeable and we're fickle. And then we sometimes find out we're deceived where we have placed our confidences. You ever placed all your confidence in somebody and then you're deceived? You say, what happened? And you're going to have peace and joy during all this when you get saved. But right after you get saved, you go through a hard time. Why? Because you're dying daily, and you don't want to die. Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. Huh? And the arrows start hitting. Thud, 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 thud. Huh? Are you hearing this? How many are hearing it? And you don't want to go, and you don't want to die. And, you've grown so much. Oh, God is working on you in such a mighty way. And then all of a sudden, you know, the arrows start coming. And you're miserable and you've lost all your friends. And you lost your boyfriend. Oh, golly. Maybe I should go back into the world again. Before, I just had the devil to contend with. Now I got the Lord and the devil and myself and demons and angels. And I don't know if it's the soul or the spirit or the body or the flesh. And they get all balled up, see? It's so hard. It is, until you understand the grace of God. And so instead of teaching people the grace of God, we say, well, what you got to do, or what I learned to do. Huh? And they don't tell you about their hard times. They just tell you what they did. And they'll give none of the glory to God. I give the glory to God. I'll tell you why. I cannot stand. Would you like to have God's glory and God's praises at 4 o'clock in the morning? We praise you, Pastor Paul. You'd walk out there and shoot every one of them people out there. You're not made to take the praises of man. Look at all the rock stars. They're miserable because they got these praises. There's nowhere they can go. Yay! And they tear their clothes. Would you like to have that? Where everybody knows you? I know you. I know you. Oh, God. And then the restoration can be painful. Are you listening on the radio to this tape? Oh, you need this message so badly. You'll see the very nature of your sin more closely. Well, before you sinned, you didn't think nothing of it. No, I have a few beers, you know. Double whiskey water wash. Nothing serious. This little flirtation. Nothing. Hey. But now you start to see it. Are you hearing it? Now it starts to be painful. Oh, I can see clearly now. The more grace reveals the changeableness of my heart. Haven't you got a changeable heart? One minute you have a heart to do this, the next minute you have a heart to kill! Go ahead and despise it. Despise it. But not yourself. Turn to God's grace, and it's enough to cover you. The blood will cover it all. You may be born again and be feeling brokenheartedness. Good. Go to God over and over and over and over and over again. Go to God and get those grace treatments. I need another treatment. Oh, huh? People go down there to different parts of the country for their health. Let's go to Arizona. Let's go here. Let's go there. And they go there for their health. Why not go to the grace capital? When you need that grace and you need, you know, people can let you. They're fickle. The preachers that are listening and your people are fickle. Don't get too hard on people. They're sinners. I was talking to a guy today. He says, "Brother, I want you to come to this meeting. You are Pastor Paul, aren't you?" And I thought, yeah, I'm only standing about 2 inches from you. You know. And I was sitting in a cafe. I was trying to get ready for the message. And, yeah. He says, "Well, I want you to come to this meeting. We're going to be talking about Russia, and we're going to get into this... how it relates to the Bible and so on like that, and the dirty things that are going on in the Capitol and this and that that's happening and so on. I think you should be there." And I said, "Well, it sounds like it's very interesting," because I just want to just, you know, get out of there. And I said, "It sounds like it'd be real interesting." "Well, it's over here. Let me draw you a map." I said, "Well, no, I got it in my mind where it's at. It's right next to hell." I want to go to that. I said, "Well," I said, "you know what? I said, I'm a gospel preacher." I said, "So I says I know people. I'm aware that people are sinners, and we need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. But that's what they need out there. I mean, you know, they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ." And I, by the way, I says, "I know where the world is going." He says, "Where?" I says, "To hell." That's what you're seeing out there. You're seeing hell moving closer to hell. I says, "And now you see, the kingdom of God is on the inside." I don't want to get into the whole thing, but see, I'm a gospel preacher. I'm not going to get onto this, these kind of kicks out there where you minister this and you minister that and you get into a whole lot of politics and you're sitting behind some politician, you know, with your leg crossed. You're doing good. Keep going. Huh? Although there are politics and there are beautiful Christians in politics, I don't think preachers should get into it too deep. And when they do have an opportunity, they should minister gospel. I was at a meeting where they had a whole lot of politicians at it. And he says, Pastor Paul, what would you have to say here? I said, well, okay. I says, I'm a gospel preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I gave him gospel. And they were all sitting there like, what happened? And one guy said, praise the Lord. This is answer to prayer. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed. This is because somebody's got a shark skin suit on, you know. Got that fancy tie on, you know, and they got this hair slicked back and it's so plastered with gunk, if you bumped into them, you'd break their hair, you know. Don't worry about that. Preach the grace of God. And when you go in, you say, God's grace is sufficient. That is a remedy, and you got to accept it on the Lord. And then, listen, guys, it works. And they're all sitting there looking at you like some kind of a nut. Well, prove it. That's what they say, and you can hear this reverberation spiritually. Prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. And say, well, you say, we have no money, and we're able to be the largest bag giveaway ministry in the United States. God's grace is sufficient. Don't worry, they won't run out. They get awestruck. And then you tell them, and listen, God's grace, it's so sufficient, you cannot wear it out. But anyway, our heart needs continued care. Over and over and over, you need the grace message. Oh, you self-righteous out there, you're going to hate what I preach for you. You are living under the old heart of Adam and Eve. You need to receive a new heart. You need to receive the heart, the grace heart, the grace message, and then you need to go after grace treatments all the time. You can't run out. It's too boundless. Oh, just think of it this way. God's eye is on the sparrow. And yet, while he's looking at that sparrow, he's looking right at you. Just imagine the eye of God is looking right at you. Wow. Isn't that something? And while he's looking right at you and the sparrow, he's looking right at you. And while he's looking at the sparrow and at you and Corey, he's looking at you. And while he's looking at the sparrow, and he's looking at you, and he's looking at you too, he's looking right at you. How can that be? And he lives right inside of you. It says, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is at your door. And in the midst of you means it's inside of you. I mean, it's the particles, the makeup of your body, everything, in the midst, in the original Greek, in the midst of you. I mean, the kingdom of God is living in every fiber of you. How can you lose? At your door, among you, in your midst, over, above, about, betwixt, between, around. It's all over. His knowledge comprehendeth all things, so does his grace comprehend all your sins. He comprehends. That means he understands them all the trials, all the temptations, all the infirmities of the people are upon him. His heart is set on you, and he put all those on himself, and he nailed it to the cross. He says, it's over. My grace is sufficient. It's finished. The next time you think that God's grace is going to exhaust on you, go on into the gold mine of grace. Go on in and open up God's grace doors and take a look. Behold. It can't run out. That's the message. It's got to be preached in the final hour
when all of the doomsday messages are going to come on. We're going to get lost in doomsday messages, and we're going to forget to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There'll be, not that there isn't a message of doom, but it'll overshadow the grace message of God and the forgiveness of God, and it'll get lost in another thing. Paul says, woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel. Let me take you to this glittering treasury of grace today, the covenant treasury. And we read, before man was, God foreknew he would fall. But he determined, and he determined this. He determined that even though there was a fall, I'm going to raise them up a multitude which no man can number. Now, this was said before the foundation of the world was even founded. And then the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, they get together, they have a meeting, don't you see? And the Father spoke, I will that those whom I have chosen to be saved, I will it. And then the Son says, yes, and I'm ready to bleed and die that justice may not suffer and that the purposes may be executed. Now we have two going. Then the Holy Spirit says, I will. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. That those whom the Son redeems by His blood, by honoring the Father's justice, by going ahead and doing the will of the Father, that are called by grace, I shall quicken them. They shall be preserved, they shall be sanctified, they shall be perfected, they shall be glorified. And brought home safely, and not one of them is going to slip through my Father's hands, because it has been spoken, and as it is spoken, it is created, and as it is created, it is, and so be it. And then the covenant was signed and sealed and ratified between these three, and the Father gave the Son, and the Son gave Himself, and the Holy Spirit gave the promise, and all of His influence, and all of His presence, and all of His chosen to all of us. Before you were even here. And then did the Father give to the Son the precious, the persons of the elect. Here they are. God. And then did the Son give Himself to the elect and take them in union with Himself. And then did the Spirit in the covenant vow that these chosen ones should surely be brought safely home at last. A vow. A vow. I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. I knew you. Such grace. Before the mountains, before the seas, before the foundation of the world, He had a chosen people. He set His heart on them, and He said, I'm going to give Myself. And then He says, I determined to give you bliss. I determined to make you a home. I determined to give you life. I determined to give you everything necessary to make it through this old wicked world. Oh, how glorious the grace of God is. And I'm closing it up. Without end, without beginning, without end. Isn't there a song? I love the Father, I love the Son, I love the Holy Ghost, I love the three in one. When I think of the covenant of grace, I am staggered at the grace of it. Listen to this, isn't it beautiful? This message today about the grace of God, don't we need to hear it over and over and over? Don't we need to preach it? Doesn't it have to become part of our very being? The covenant will not be broken. It was made before that you were. You have nothing to do with it. It's just like with your birth. Did you have anything to do with your natural birth? Did you? Did you yell out from someplace, Steve Arnopoulos, get on a boat, sail over to Mitchell, South Dakota, and meet a little woman over there. Her name is Armetta Cole. I want you to go over there. I want you to start a cafe. I want you to wait until you're 37 years old and marry this 18-year-old girl. And I want you to have a son named Paul, and that'll be me. No. God is the creator of those things. God is the author of those things. You didn't have a thing to do with it. Nothing. God foreordained it. That's what happened. He decided to have a son named Paul or Fred or Kathy or Jim or Corey or whatever. Doesn't that stagger you when you think about it? Oh, come on in, all you people out there that have been called by the grace of God. You know where you're at, you whores. You're out there. God's on your case. That's why you're running all over. Come on, God's after you. Come on home. Bring that pimp with you, too. That guy with that fur coat, that long collar and that long fur coat, just, you know, that Panama hat. And them windows that are so black you can't see nothing in them. Well, you come on in too, because God wants you. God's grace is calling you. That's why you're so miserable, don't you see? Don't run away to Nivensville. You just come on in here. Is it getting kind of heavy out there? It's getting heavy because God is after you and He's allowed you to stray as far as you can. Did you ever think of that? The Bible tells us, be careful how you entertain a stranger. May be entertaining an angel unawares. Be careful how you entertain strangers. You may be entertaining God's elect. One that's fitted for the incorruptible seed. Before the foundation of the world was even founded. You mean that snaggletooth, foul-speaking, stinking wench? Right? God, she's so pitiful and stinky, vile. A dirty little harlot, nonetheless. Don't do it. Don't do it. Judge the sin, maybe. Hate the sin. Love the sinner. For in the measure that you measure out to someone else, there it should be measured out to you. The way that you judge and the way that you show mercy, that will be given unto you in the measure that you gave to someone else. Oh, wow. Ooh. Come on, let's give out the grace message. Let's preach the grace message. And I believe that Noah's floods, even though they covered up the mountains, don't you think they can cover up the molehills of sin? Well, you person asked me, well, doesn't God punish His children? I said, no. He chastises His children. He doesn't punish them. The wrath is not made for you. It's passed over you. Oh, you're going to get God's wrath. No. If you're born again, it's passed over. You're going to be chastised. You're going to be miserable. You might be laid in the hospital, both arms and legs up in the air and cast. He may even take you home. He may even take you out of this world. You may get into so much trouble, and say, oh, I've got to pull you. I've got to bench you. Happens because no one's going to snatch you out of the Father's hands. And you get to heaven, you'll have no rewards. You'll get up there, you'll have one little old burned up hair, smoking tennis shoes and diapers on, but you'll make it to heaven. Yet the Bible says you will be saved, but you won't be where you could have been. Just think of all things there is to do for the Lord, and we're just so busy arguing with ourselves. But hey, you know what? I'm done, but do you know what? The less I get into working for myself,
And the more I get into working for others, the more life I have. Because to give your life is to gain your life. That's what it's all about. And I found that secret out, and I can't wait to give more of me away. Oh, what do you got to give away? Well, I don't know, but whatever it is, I'm going to give it away. How many are hearing this? And it's the hardest thing in the world to get people to do good. Have you ever noticed that? You can tell your kids, now, don't you think that would be a good thing to help mommy with the dishes? No. That is not a good thing. And you say, well, you go help your sister now. And the kids are fighting over who's going to do the dishes. I remember Debbie, we had this, got this dishwasher. And so she'd do the dishes. She'd do them. She'd throw them in the room, bam. And then she'd slam the, wham, slam the door on the thing. You know? It's the hardest thing in the world to get people to do good. Because our hearts and our intents are set on doing evil. Now you tell people to do evil, and they'll run to it right away. It's a natural thing. But if you can get them to do good, they'll find out how good they'll feel doing good. They'll want to do more good. And it's just like when the kid gets done. It's like a lot of people don't know the joy of working. You get them working, and they by the grace of God to get some people working. It takes the grace of God to actually. It just takes the power. I mean, almost lightning bolts, dynamite to get them going. But once they get going and they find out how much fun they have doing it, then they want to do it all the more. Because doing good is an experience, and until you experience doing good, you aren't going to know how good it feels. Isn't that good? God's grace today, in this message today, is sufficient. I don't care what kind of frame of mind you're in. I don't care how fickle people have treated you. I don't care how jealousy has affected you. Well, I don't care what. Maybe you're being slandered right now. I don't know. Oh, that happens so easy. Maybe you're being slandered. Maybe you're being ostracized. Maybe your best friend is mad at you. Maybe you're mad at yourself. Maybe you're a family. You're listening on the radio right now, and you just got done getting into a great big fight. You didn't hear none of this message, but you heard that. You had a great big fight. Well, then send in for this tape, because you need the grace of God. And I'm more and more I'm learning. I just tell people when they come in, they want counsel. I say, first of all, let's pray. Did you pray before you come in here? Well, no. Well, then let's pray right now, because I'm not going to give you counsel until we seek the Lord. And then the Lord has given me to preach people. I say, okay, now, first of all, before we counsel with you, what is in your heart? And we won't have to waste a whole lot of time. Oh. If you can get out everything that's in a person's heart out on the table, then you can deal with it. Otherwise, you're wasting your time, because they just hide. One spirit hides behind the other spirit, and the other spirit hides behind there. And then the con artist spirit comes out. Praise the Lord, covers up. praise him. Hey, brother. And it hides all these other little things, see, that are in our heart. They got to come out. All the bitternesses and all the rivalry and all the jealousies and all of this junk. I say, sister or brother, will you just tell the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And he will if you will. And most chances are they won't. They won't tell the truth. Tell the truth. And when they tell the truth, it says, and the truth will set you free. And I don't care if you're listening and you are an evangelist that's been all over, praise God. I don't care. Tell the truth. And the truth will set you free. And the truth is done also by the grace of God. It's sufficient to help you tell the truth. Isn't it? God, I thank you for this audience today. And I ask, Lord, if there be anyone in here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that your grace would find them wherever they're at right now. Let them know. And on the radio, Lord, or the tape. Touch him. Holy Spirit, touch him. You foreordained that they would be saved, Lord, and by the word spoken here today, that your grace is sufficient, Lord. Come out and get all them people out there listening on the radios, the backsliders and the whores and the pimps and the homosexual, Lord, and the bisexual, Lord, and all these people that just think, oh, God, they ain't good. Hey, come on in. God's grace is sufficient. Come on in. Come as you are without a plea. We're not plea bargaining here. Without a plea. No bargaining at all. There's no bargain basement. You just come to the throne rooms of God, and it's a free gift. Lord, let's get this message right now. We pray that you anoint it in Jesus' name.